It's May 17th, and we are here together, assembled to receive the blessings of Christ. I welcome everyone to this event, to the altar of Christ, however you see it, to receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone is welcome, and everyone will be benefited. Each in your own way, according to your needs, according to your readiness, according to the will of God. There are many, many variables from person to person, but we're always reminded that it is our faith that makes us whole. And it is by our faith that miracles occur. This was the one common denominator that Yeshua, our Jesus, had. After every performed miracle, he would ask the person to rise, and then he would proclaim, "Your faith has made you whole." So he didn't even take credit for it completely. Well, he was obviously the facilitator, the presence of God on earth, but he didn't own the entire phenomena. He delegated to us our own sense of responsibility, our own sense of readiness, and our own faith, that we not be diminished in any way by what God does for us or by what others do for us. Still, we are here demonstrating our presence on earth and our reason for being according to our creation in the plan and the will of God. And only you know what that is, and I suspect even you don't know the whole story. I most certainly did not. I haven't known more than maybe 6 months ahead of my life, the whole of my life. I had some plans, but like so many wise people have said, a good way to make God laugh is telling your plans. That happened to me. I had plans to become to get my degree in painting and then go on and get my master's degree in painting and teach painting at a university, which would give me the summers off and some relaxing weekdays where I could work on building a painting career. And then if I was fortunate enough and good enough to be successful that way, well, I would probably scale down my teaching or abandon it altogether. Those were my plans. Only part of it happened. I did get my first degree from TCU in painting, and after that, God took over, and about every 6 months to a year, it was changing or transforming into something new that I hardly recognized. And I have learned to really, really appreciate the fact that God gives us a certain percentage of control over our life. And then after that, it's really up to us to manage our life in light of faith and to move forward according to our faith, according to our talents, and according to our desire for receivership. You know, you might be surprised how many people would never, ever buy a lottery ticket, not just for moral reasons that they don't believe in it, but because they're really scared to win that much money. You'd be surprised how many people won't do common, available life improvements, such as a better diet or a little bit of exercise. Not a lot, just a little bit. Some deep breathing exercises, better nutrients, more positive attitude. You'd be surprised how many people won't do it because they're afraid they will not recognize themselves. They feel that, you know, I hardly own my life as it is. If I became somebody I don't recognize, then what's the point of even being here? We have the doggonedest way of resisting improvement because we don't recognize it and we have no receivership for it. So that's kind of what I want to focus on today, is how do we improve our receivership? How do we expand our openness to have more of the blessings of life, more abundance, better health, friends that love us more, more fun things to do. If you had all those things, would you recognize yourself? That's one thing you need to look at. You need to take a look at, gee, I hardly would. You know, I've worked so hard for so long. I've had this and that illness, been looking after the family, the kids, the parents, the grandparents, somebody or another, been strapped for finances. Gee, I don't think I would recognize myself. Okay. Well, you got to fix that. You've got to make room for happiness. Do you know we have to make room for everything that we want in our life? I think, really, if you get right down to it, it's all about space. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and that light expanded out, and it marked out all the space in which the universe would happen. Regardless of how you believe, it happened. The one thing scientists and the Bible agree upon is light was the first element. It's the common denominator to everything. And light actually travels and demarcates the spaces in which everything else occur. Do you ever think about that? You know, here's an interesting I don't think it's a metaphor, it's a real story. I was once reading about parents or would-be parents who were having difficulty conceiving. And they would finally give in and adopt a child. Do you have any idea how high the percentage is of adoptive parents then conceiving a child within a year after a baby comes in, or a little boy or a little girl comes into their home? It's actually 40%. That's an amazing percentage, considering that most of them tried everything and gave up. All it took was bringing a little child into their home to mark the space and to define what it would be like to have a child in their life. I think a lot of couples are really afraid of being parents. They want children, but they're resisted because they think, but maybe I wouldn't be a good mom. Maybe I wouldn't be a good dad. Maybe I can't afford a child. Oh, my gosh. And what do? I don't even know how to change a diaper. You know, all the things we go through in our mind. You know, we could say, well, gee, if I did start this business, how would I manage the money? I don't even know how to pay business taxes. I don't even know how to charge taxes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, this better not succeed. Same thing with our health. You would be surprised how many, not necessarily negative beliefs you have, but doubt-stained beliefs. Let's put it that way. Resistive beliefs. Self-denial beliefs. Self-undoing beliefs that you may have, or others you want to help may have. You know, the best remedy for that is still what you might call space therapy. You create a place for it. You envision it out there. You just build the place. And, you know, there was a movie, You Build It and They Will Come. I think that was a little bit exaggerated, but then that's Hollywood, you know. But still, it helps to have on your wall a picture of that house you want to buy, or something similar, or maybe some trees or shrubs you want to have in your backyard the way you want your backyard to be. Then you actually start a savings account. The amount of money is not what matters. I told us in one of my the chapters in Love Without End, I believe it's chapter 2, where we have the story of the subway and the danger that I encountered in the subway. Actually, I think I told that to you last week, so won't go into that again. But it all happened with 1%. In every situation, we've got at least 1% advantage. You just need to find out where that 1% is. Most of the time, we've all got at least one penny around the house. Now, that penny occupies space. You may not think it adds up to much, but a penny in a box is the beginning of a savings account. It's the beginning of something. You've marked the space for something. Mark the space for the things you want, whether it's health, whether it's better relationships. If you want to have some lovely lunches with your family or your best friends, drive around and look at restaurants that just might be the right place. Maybe you don't have the time right now or the money to go there, but you can still check them out. Go read the menu. Put them in the configuration of your life. We all need to work on our receivership, including our receivership for blessings. And you're probably saying, oh, well, Glenda, you know, that's kind of silly. Take a look at what you just thought, what you just said. Every time we put up a resistance to something good, that's something we need to deal with. That very resistance is the problem. There is your problem, my friend. And it just reared its little unholy head when you started to make a positive action. So now you can see it. Now you can deal with it. You can look at that resistance and say, you know, maybe I don't need you. Maybe you're not adding any value to my life. And just maybe look at when you first got that resistance. Maybe the first time you ever thought that thought. Examine it. Take a look at it. Release it. Blow it away. You can literally spit it into your hand and blow it away. Just get rid of it. Then go back and put that idea out again and see if there's still resistance. Something else may come up. Maybe another idea, another thought, another feeling that you're kind of resisting. And blow that away. Blow them all away till they're gone. Work on your receivership until you could literally put everything in your life that you want in a little box. And in that little box, you could put affirmations. You could put money. You could put designs, like garden designs or patio designs, or a picture of a new car you want, or something you want to do in your work, something you want to create. Make space for your dreams. And one of the things I have seen about faith is that faith is kind of like a little child. It wants to play, and it wants to occupy space. Pardon me just a moment. Have you ever noticed how little children want to touch everything? I don't think the touching is nearly so important as it is walking up to something and sharing space with it. They want to feel that they are really there. They want to feel themselves in that space. They want to sit down on a pillow and enjoy just being there. Then they want to run outside and enjoy being there. They're creating instinctively. They're creating space for their life. And it's something that nature is guiding them to do. But we tend to stop doing that. And one of the reasons we do is because we begin to believe in barriers and boundaries. Now, I do believe that we need to respect the barriers and the boundaries other people actually put up, such as a neighbor putting up a fence. We don't want to keep walking over there and being in their private lives. It would be extremely annoying and disrespectful. People put up other kinds of boundaries, sometimes at work. They don't want to be disturbed, especially in the middle of a sales call or something else they're doing. Respect the boundaries other people put up, but be very mindful of the boundaries you put up. And only put up the ones you really, really want that are actually important to you. Because boundaries are a little bit like bamboo. I was told when I first started loving gardening, you want to be very careful about planting bamboo and make sure if you do, if you really, really want it, that you plant it with a deep barrier around its roots because it grows in subterranean ways beneath the soil. You don't even see it growing, and then it comes up all over the place. There are some other types of plants that spread like that. They really do become root invasive. I was considering buying a little sprig of a willow tree, and I noticed the nurseryman said, now be sure and don't plant this near a well or near a septic tank or any other irrigation you have in your garden, because the roots will grow and entangle anything that has water. And I thought, oh dear, gosh, well, that won't work here. I don't have any place for it here. So that's what I'm saying about your boundaries. Make sure when you put a boundary up, it's like bamboo. Boundaries multiply boundaries. You want to know why? Is because a boundary tells us unconsciously, there's something to be afraid of. There's something to be cautious of. There's something we need to protect ourselves from. And there's nothing more contagious than fear and caution and reservations, because these lead to separation. Separation from our fellow man, separation even from our own expanding potential, separation from God even, separation from all we can be. There are people who've built glass houses around themselves because they started believing that their boundaries were so valuable. It was giving them so much protection and privacy in their life. And boundaries are necessary. I know. Even my husband and I have our boundaries. Our sleeping schedule is not the same, and I don't want to disturb him when he's sleeping. He doesn't want to disturb me when I'm sleeping. So we just set up our particular points of respect about that. You know, no matter how much you love someone or how close you are, you can have boundaries. You just have to watch them because they can grow like bamboo. And they can interfere with our ability to receive in unexpected ways. This is the thing. This is the real point I was getting to. And that is, God doesn't ask our permission to give us good things. God gives us good things all the time. And do you know how many good things you turn away because you didn't ask for them? I was thinking about a story my husband told me when he was a little kid. I don't even remember what the present it was that he asked for Christmas. And he did, I don't remember whether he did or didn't get it, but he didn't get it at first. It wasn't the first thing he opened, or the second, third, or fourth, or fifth thing he opened. But he was just absolutely beside himself because he didn't get what he wanted. And all the other good things he got, they just, well, what do I want these for? I didn't ask for these. All I wanted is what I wanted. I want what I want when I want it. And by golly, I didn't get it. So I'm unhappy. And I don't care what else you gave me. I think he actually did get his present, but his parents were holding it back from him. but we're all like that in a way. That was just, he's usually not like that. This is not a comment on the personality or character of my husband. Just a little kid being a little kid. And I think we've all done things like that. We're all doing things like that right now. How many good things are you receiving in your life that you're not accepting? Because, well, it's not what I wanted. It's not what I asked for. God gave you your talents and your abilities and all the good things of your life. How many of them have you expressed gratitude for? How many of them have you used? How many of them have you turned to improvement in your life? You know, sometimes God just wants to see will we use what He gives us? Will we turn it to some kind of benefit? Inventory your life. Let's expand on your receivership. I could recite the parable of the talents, but I think you know it by now because I've cited it so many times. Those who did nothing with their talents had them taken away. The one who really only had one talent, but he applied it proficiently, masterfully, expanded it, well, he was given more talents. This comes back to the 1% principle. We've all got one penny in a box. What will you do with that one penny? We've all got a 1% principle. And most of the time, it's not as small as one penny in a box. It's something much larger than that. Do something with what you have. Take that 1% and turn it into 10%. Take the 10% and turn it into 100%. Anyone can get there. You can. Our universe is created to reward us all in that way. So pray for what you want, as we need to do. We need to express to God our desire and our appreciation for blessings that will come. Include in your prayer gratitude for that which you already have. Include in your prayer assistance for how you can turn what you have into something even greater. Pray for others as well, that you may contribute to their receivership. Because we all expand as we all expand. I think you know that we've all suffered because of a very challenging economic condition. There's no such thing as only a few people suffering. Now, granted, some people suffer more than others. Some people are virtually immune to it with their billions of dollars. But everybody has actually suffered. There's no such thing as anyone disconnected from the whole. So pray for others. Share with others. Support good things, and good things will come back to you. This is how we work with the 10% principle. We have a few minutes left, and I see that Eva is on the phone. Hi. How are you, Eva?
Hi. I am well, thank you. I do want to ask for a blessing for Charlie and myself. I did send out an email blast approximately 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I got it.
And I do appreciate the blessings which were given for us, and I definitely can feel that for myself because I feel much stronger than I used to be.
Oh, indeed you are.
And so it's the first time that I have had to take care of him totally when he's bedridden, which it has happened this time. And I hear, so, but I'm tired, but I don't, you know, the fear, I'm really realizing that all the fears I used to have, and which I know the blessings have helped me tremendously with that, because that was the first thing I noticed when you started the blessings, my fears began to subside, and that was right after he had been hospitalized in 2010. And so I'm thinking this, you know, during this time I said, well, the more I let go of the fear, the more love can come in and fill that space. And I feel that that is what is happening. But I would like to see this end and have him well and up and around again. So I do appreciate, you know, the blessings that are forgiven. And I feel that, yes, I do want to receive, as you've been talking about. And I know in the past, sometimes that was hard for me.
It can be hard for all of us, Eva. It really can. I think this is a constant vigilance that we have to be aware of, and we need to take our fears out of the box and not create space for them. Let them die in the light of day and put our hopes in to create space for our hopes. In fact, you know, in many of the ancient rituals of the indigenous people, they would, wherever their altar would be or their ceremonial ground would be, they would draw circles in the sand, and inside the sand, they would put a token of that which they most wanted. That was their way of actually bringing it into sacred space and creating a place for it. And then they would dust the sacred space. They would take like a broom or other means of dusting it out, because it was symbolically sweeping away all of their fears, all of their resistances, all of their denials, every unworthiness they might have had to their hopes and their faith being fulfilled. And so one of the things that might be good for you is when you're sweeping the house or removing anything that is like a soiled dish or anything from Charlie's room, just consider that you're taking out with that the fear, you're taking away with that the problem. Anything you remove from his space, you're removing the problem as well. Anything you bring into his space, you're bringing hope.
Well, thank you. That sounds very good. Yes, it reminds me of the story in that Jesus told of the woman that was sweeping the house to find the treasure, or the lost coins, I believe it was. And
yeah.
We have lost the beauty of ourselves and need to sweep away in order to find it again.
Exactly. So everything you clean out of Charlie's room, just consider that you're also cleaning out yours and his anxiety, yours and his tiredness and pain and frustration. You're taking that away as well. Clean the room and see every dust particle as what you're removing that could have been part of self-doubt or worry. And then every good thing you bring in, have a candle in his room and place your hopes and your prayers and dreams into the candle.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And in addition to that, we will offer our blessings to the both of you as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I know.
You're very, very welcome. And it looks like it's time for us to begin our blessing for Sunday. So if we would all be in our seats, all body parts uncrossed. If you can't sit in a chair, if you're in a bed, also remember, keep your hands uncrossed and your legs uncrossed and your fingers uncrossed. Just lay straight so that the energies of the Holy Spirit can move through you back and forth. And I guess this is something I should have mentioned earlier, but I'm just now thinking of it in relation to Charlie, who is bedridden. You might, Eva, you know, you might want to have something like a little herbal pack that you can put next to his head, or a mud pack for his feet, so that you can draw up the energy of the earth, even though he can't have his feet on the ground. Have them so that they can connect with the earth. Or something, just put some aloe vera gel on his feet. Something that is rich with earth energy. And the same for anyone who might have a friend, a parent, a loved one in the hospital. Put something natural on their feet that is of the earth. Like I said, even if it's just a little bit of aloe vera gel, make sure it's pure, and maybe bring in, you know, a branch, a little tree branch and have at their feet. Anything that brings the earth energy to their feet. And then I would suggest maybe a candle near their head to bring, to flow upward to the light of God. And let's consider that as a valuable protocol, because I know that a lot of times you do come to the blessing because someone in your life is suffering and may be bedridden and not able to move. Now, having said that, let us begin. I would ask all the blessing givers to join me. I will say my prayer to Yeshua, and then each of you say your prayer. Say it with gratitude, expectation, hope, faith, and receivership for all the good things that will be given to you. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for all the goodness you have brought to the earth. So much of it we had no way of expecting. How could those who walked with you 2,000 years ago have known to expect all that you would bring to this earth? How can we know today how one small blessing you can bring to us will then become a fountain of life for those who come after us? All that you give is good, and we give you thanks for it. All that you give is of love, and we cherish your love. All that you give takes us to a higher and nobler life, and for that we praise you. We thank you for all of it, and in your name we pray that we may receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Amen. the blessing conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Lie down and don't think, don't even continue your prayer. Just be. Be quiet, be still, be open, and be nourished by all that's been given to you. It's okay if you fall asleep. Just don't continue making your list. Set your mind aside. Let God be with you and the Holy Spirit take over. I look forward to being with you again next week and wish you a wonderful, blessed week. Bye-bye for now.